Book of Matthew, chapter number 8. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 8. Again, I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Appreciate what's already went on in this day. Thank the Lord for His stirring. I'm glad for the encouragement from heaven. We live in a very discouraging, depressing world, and I'm glad for encouragement from yonder's world. There'll never be anything that'll encourage you like the Lord passing by, and I'm grateful for His encouragement this morning and pray that He will help us again tonight in tonight's service. Matthew chapter 8, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. Now I want to begin reading in verse number 23. When he was entered into a ship, talking about the Lord, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I don't feel like I have a great deal on me tonight, but I do believe this is where the Lord would have us to be. What caught my attention, the Lord began to speak to my heart in verse number 24. We've all known about this story. We know what's taking place. The account's familiar to us about this storm, this situation that the disciples find themselves in on the Sea of Galilee. But what caught my attention that, and I'm sure that I've read it 100 times over or more, was that the Bible records in verse 24 that the ship was covered with the waves. The Lord began to speak to my heart, and I want to preach tonight on when the waves are bigger than the boat. When the waves are bigger than the boat. There are going to be days in your life that the waves of the storm of life are bigger than your boat. Now there's an important note that we must highlight and realize and make sure to understand tonight. That in verse 23 the Bible said his disciples followed him. This storm was not a result of sin in the life of the disciples. This storm was not a result of wrongdoing on their part. They, at least from what I could understand, were doing everything they know to do to follow the Lord. And there are going to be days in your life that you're doing everything you know to do to follow Him, and the storms are still going to come. And the reality of the matter is those storms that come as a result of our wrongdoing, they're easy to understand. But these storms, when we search our life and ask God to search us, and I'm not saying that we're perfect, but we cannot see or understand some direct result that we have caused the storm to come. We're doing our best, trying our best, putting our best effort in to do right and live right and follow Him, and yet the storm comes anyway. Yes, those storms are hard to understand. But the reality is, and it was mentioned this morning, and God brought it to my heart again, that it does not matter salvation, sanctification, separation, being spirit-filled and spirit-led does not exempt the people of God from the storms of life. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that all of the rest of the journey will be a bed of roses. Just because we're doing our best, it does not exempt us from trouble and turmoil. If we read the book of Job, the Bible said he was a man that was perfect in his generation, that he was upright and eschewed evil and offered sacrifice for his children just in case they had done wrong. And yet the storm of life came in Job's life, and in reality we would say that the waves of his storm are much bigger than his boat. Lost everything. One came right after the other. One pair of bad news. Your camels are gone. Your oxen are gone. The sheep are gone. Your children are gone. And his health is taken. He's smitten with boils from the top of his head, the sole of his feet, sitting in sackcloth and in ashes, with a piece of broken pottery, scraping to get relief. His wife says, curse God and die. You've lost it all. But the Bible said, God giveth and God's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That storm, if you read through the book of Job, and I'm not criticizing him, but we have to understand that he's flesh, or was flesh, just like you and I are. And if you read the book of Job, Job is trying his best to understand why this storm came. He sought counsel in his friends. Of course, we understand that none of them knew anything about this situation. They were physicians of no value. That God ultimately ordered this test, this storm in Job's life. But the Bible said Job was blessed greater in the latter end than he was at the beginning. Sometimes God orders these storms to come in our life to make us better in the end than we were at the beginning. And there are at least three instances that I could find that the Lord brought to my heart in the Word of God where a storm is recorded that the waves were bigger than the boat. And every one of them was the same. Now, I'm not saying every person was the same, every reaction was the same, but the same chain of events took place in every one of the storms. And I'm going to tell you something that is amazing to me, may not be amazing to you, but every storm that I could find in these three instances where the Bible records that the waves were bigger than the boat, none of those storms were a direct result of sin in the life of the people that experienced them. They were all ordered of God. The first one is here in this scripture where the disciples follow the Lord on a boat. He falls asleep, and the Bible said a tempest comes. Looked up that word tempest, and it means a shaking, a commotion is what it means. There was a commotion that went on in the middle of the sea in their days, in our life, that the storms will cause a commotion on the inside of us. And the waves of our storm, of the shaking that we feel on the inside, will almost seem like the waves are going to come over the ship and take us under. The other instance is recorded just a few chapters later in Matthew chapter 14, where at the Lord's command, the disciples get on board a ship and set off toward the other side of the sea. Following His command, the Bible said He constrained the disciples to get on board a ship, go to the other side while He went apart to pray. They just did what He asked. They followed His command. They obeyed His voice. And the Bible said, but not long after, there arose a great storm of wind, and they were in jeopardy. And in Acts 27, now understand, the warning of God came, and those shipmen, they disobeyed the warning of God, but the Apostle Paul was on board the ship, and the record is from his point of view, and Paul did nothing to encounter that storm. Wasn't Paul's fault. He tried to warn them, tell them. God said we better not go. But the Bible said the master, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the words of Paul. And they went anyway. And now Paul, who's done no wrong, who's been arrested for preaching the gospel, now he's in one of the greatest storms of all his life. And I'm going to tell you, you and I, if the disciples and the apostle Paul went through storms in their life, you and I will go through storms in ours. And if they experience storms where it seemed like the waves are bigger than the boat, you and I will experience the same kind of storms. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in these storms, because it happened in their life and it's probably going to happen in ours. The first thing that happened when the storm came is that fear set in. They were afraid. Here in this scripture that we read tonight, Jesus' first question was not, where's your faith? But it is, why are you so fearful? In Matthew 14, they're on board the ship. The storm has come. They think they're going to die. The Lord comes in the fourth watch of the night walking on the water. And the Bible said they cried out for fear. In Acts 27, they were all afraid. The Bible said they threw over what they thought they didn't need. And then it got so bad they threw everything they knew they did need just to try to lighten the load and get a hold of the ship. But to no avail. Bible said they were driven up and down the coast, in and out. They didn't know where they were. They had no idea what was going on. The Bible said they hadn't seen the sun or the moon or the stars in many days. And that was their navigation in that day. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that there are going to be days when the storms are so bad you won't even know where you are. The disciples, they didn't know where they were. One of the Gospels said, and I heard an old preacher say, and I liked it, and said the Bible said that they had went about so many furlongs. And he said, I really, really questioned the Lord. He said, I don't understand. This is the King James Bible. And he said, I don't like my Bible saying about anything. Seems like the writer of the gospel could have said that they went so many furlongs, so many feet, and so many inches, knew exactly where they were. But the Holy Ghost, he said, spoke to his heart and said, they didn't know where they were, but I did. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be days in your life that you may not know where you are, but the Lord knows where you are. And that fear may set in. And you wonder. When that fear comes, then your faith grows weak. Jesus said, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? The Apostle Paul, who we would probably regard, other than the Lord that walked the earth, as one of the greatest preachers, he said that after about 14 nights in the storm, he said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Sounds to me like faith had grown a little weak, even though the Lord had said that he was going to appear before Caesar, yet the storm changed his mind for a moment. The Lord's assured us and promised us some things, but don't you get too good to say that sometimes the storm may not want to change your mind about some things. And all that fear came, and all that faith went away, and they started trying to do, they tried to fight against the storm, they tried to shovel the water out, they tried to row it and bring it to land, they tried everything they could do, and you can fight against it all you want, but it won't do you any good. If the storm has been ordered of God. And I'm going to tell you something about these storms. Some of them can get so bad that the future, our own future, seems uncertain to us. The disciples said, wake up, we're dying. In another one of the Gospels, this same record is recorded, and they said, Master, carest thou not, we perish. In Paul's account in Acts 27, he said, we really believe we were going to die. All 200, and now here on this ship, it's just a little ship. There's not too many, about 13 on board. But in Acts 27, there's 276 men on board. And they all are convinced they're dying. I'm going to tell you something about these storms, and I'm done. I don't know if you've got anything out of it tonight, but this is the real key right here. In the storms, fear may come. In the storms, your faith may grow weak. In the storms, you may want to fight against it. In the storm, your future may look unsure or uncertain to you. But I'll promise you, in every storm, bar none, you will find out who is in control. The Bible said he stepped up. One of the scriptures said he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. He'll speak in your storm. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know who wrote the song. I know the McCamey sung it, but they, whoever wrote that, was really on to something. And it's in the scripture. He might speak to the storm, but he might just speak to the sailors. In this record, he speaks to the storm. But in Matthew 14, he never speaks to the storm. He speaks to the sailors. And he says, "It is I, be of good cheer." In Acts 27, he never speaks to the storm, but he speaks to the Apostle Paul, and he said, "It's okay. There'll be the loss of no man's life." And Paul got back up. The Bible never speaks about the storm stopping. Matter of fact, it speaks to the contrary wise. The storm was still raging so much that in verse 41, the Bible said the waves were so strong, they broke off the hinder part of the ship. But Paul said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God." And he said, "Everything's going to be all right." And you know what Paul said? It got rough. And I'm telling you, there are going to be some days in your life. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but we're going to have to deal with reality that it's going to get so bad that you might think about abandoning ship. They did. Paul charged them. He said, "No man's life can be saved unless you abide in the ship." Now I'm going to tell you, the best place in the storm, even when the waves are coming over your vessel, is for you to stay in the ship. Because the Master's still on board. We may not see Him. And it's kind of that unseen hand that we cannot see at times. But rest assured, He has control of the ship and your vessel, and His hand's on the wheel. You'll soon find out who's in control. We'll find out it's not us when He speaks to us. And that still small voice in the middle of the night when the waves are coming over the side of the ship and they're way bigger. The Bible said that the ship was covered with the waves. I don't know what that means in technological things, but my common sense tells me that that means the waves were bigger than the boat. I'm going to tell you, the waves weren't bigger than God. And your waves may be bigger than you and bigger than your boat, but they're not bigger than God. And He can not only speak, but He can still the storm. And sometimes He may still the storm, as He did in this scripture, but sometimes He may still the sailor. The storm never stopped in Acts 27, but Paul said, "Let it roll. I believe God." He said, "There's no doubt in me now." And the Bible said that the ship was broken. Some of them floated on board on broken pieces of the ship, the Bible said, but the ship got them all safe to land. I'm going to tell you, this ship we're on, it may take on some water. The waves may beat against it. The writer of the song was right when they wrote about that old ship of Zion, and it said its hull was bent and battered from those storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but the old ship kept sailing. And it wasn't because of the ship, and it wasn't because of the sailors, but the old writer said, as I stepped on board, he said, "I looked and I heard the captain." And I'm glad he still got a hold of the ship. I don't know what you're going through. And I know it seemed to me, just me being honest with you tonight, seemed to me that it was unusual after this morning to preach like this tonight. But the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart as he's been doing lately, and it ain't nothing on me. I'm grateful for it. But I was getting up to go get ready, and he spoke to my heart. I was kind of in the back of my mind. I don't know if anybody else is ever that way when God speaks to you or tells you to do something. I was thinking, Lord, this ain't right. We don't need this tonight. We need something else after this morning. He spoke to my heart, and he said, there's somebody there this morning that they may have rejoiced, but deep down on the inside, their ship's taking on water. And we can rejoice about heaven and the truth that it's coming. I'm glad for it. But we're still on the sea. Yeah. And the storms are still coming. Yes, and the Lord wanted me to come tonight in my feeble way and tell you that He's still in control. Amen. And you may be afraid. Your faith may be weak. You may not know what's fixing to happen. You may have already figured out in your mind you got it figured. You're going under. But you're fixing to find out who's in control. And just about the time you go under, He'll speak peace to you. And He'll take charge of the storm. He won't let you go under. The Bible said when Peter went walking on the water, he got his eyes off the Lord and saw the waves and the wind boisterous and began to sink. But the Lord never did let him go under. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. You may begin to sink. One of the scriptures said that the ship was filled with water. And I don't know about you, but I got enough common sense to know that if a boat gets full of water, she's going under. But it never did sink. You know why? Because the captain was on board. You say, but I don't understand how he could sleep in the midst of my storm. Where is God? Why don't he care? The disciples thought the same thing. But I heard old brother, I'm trying to finish. I heard old brother Andrew Tonkin. If most of you here know him, if you ain't met him, Lord willing, he comes back in, we'll get him back, and you need to meet this man of God. I heard him preach a message one time. One of the gospels is so specific, by no coincidence at all, but by the sovereignty of God, to record that he was asleep on a pillow. And that's not that fluffy feathered thing that you lay your head down at night on your bed. But Brother Tonkin preached about the pillow. And it's a box at the back of the ship where all the rigging and all the ropes go into that box and around the spool. And it is what controls the direction of the sails and the direction that the ship goes. And that's where Jesus laid his head. And even though the disciples didn't understand it all, and in our storms, sometimes all we can see is the winds and the waves and the turmoil and the commotion that's going on around us. But rest assured, He's on top of the pillow and He's in control. Your ship cannot go anywhere. He doesn't let it go. I'm glad to know that. There've been some days I thought, Lord, where are we going? There've been some days I thought, Lord, where are you at? But I'm glad He never has failed me. He's always been on time and He's always in control. And the storms of life are going to come. Rest assured, man that's born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. All that will live godly shall suffer in this day. But there's someone who's in control. And He controls the winds. These disciples were so amazed. They said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey His voice. And over there in Matthew 14, when they're on board the ship, they feel like they're all alone. But the old preacher said the Lord was teaching them that when He's not with them, He's with them. And I'm telling you, when you can't sense Him, when you can't feel Him, when you can't see Him, He's still there. And He's got it in control. He's the one that draws the line in the sand on the seashore and tells the waves they can only come this far. And if He can do that in the physical, He can do it in your spiritual. And tell the waves how hard they can beat. Tell the wind how hard it can blow. Tell the lightning how bright it can flash. And the thunder how loud it can be. He is in control. I don't know about you, but it makes it easier for me to lay my head down on my pillow at night, even when the storms are raging, knowing the Lord is in control. And you may be in a storm tonight that seems like the waves are bigger than your boat. And the Lord has come by this way tonight through this feeble preacher to tell you that He's in control. Just trust Him. Just rest in Him. It may seem like He's asleep. It may seem like He don't care. But He's still on top of it all. And He has the power. And He'll come through just in time. He don't come through too early. And He don't come through too late. He comes through right on time, every time. Just rest in Him. Trust Him. Know that it is gonna be all right, because the Lord is in control. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege and opportunity to have been able to be in Your house with Your people. I thank You, Lord, for the simple thought that You placed on my heart for the service tonight. I know, Lord, it wasn't much, just my feeble way of preaching, but Lord, I thank You for stirring in my soul. I thank You for letting me know that even in the storms of life, because You're in control, everything is going to be all right. I pray for that one or those that are here tonight and they're in a storm. And the storm has waves bigger than their boat. And they feel like they're going under. They feel like all hope's lost. They feel like their future is uncertain because of their storm. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to them. Lord, it may not be Your will to speak to the storm and to stop it, but Lord, in the midst of the storm, would You whisper sweet peace to them? Let them know You're still there and You're still in control. Help us, Lord, in these days as we know that the storms of life are going to come. Help us to trust You. Help our faith to be strong in the midst of the storm. Though the waves may overtake and our vessel be filled with water, help us to know, Lord, that You are on top of it all. And I thank You, Lord, that You are God and that You're able to help us in these days. Thank You, Lord, for this good day in the house of God that You blessed us with. I pray above everything that's been done or said that You'd receive honor and glory under Your holy name. We'll thank You and praise You for it all, for we ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.